So it's a couple of mornings after the night before. As ever, I have the speed of a snail putting these podcasts up. Apologies. Snowed under and I'm a bit of a twat. So it's Red News Podcast 27. I've let the Juve defeat go. It's not got to me like the others. Just more irritated about our response, really. And as we say later, a bit predictable that Jose was making points with his subs. People going, well, yeah, but he didn't have that many options. Well, they're still United players and you give something a go. You never know. If McCady can score a goal that's crucial, why not give someone a chance? You've got a £50 million midfielder that suddenly Jose's forgotten about in this bizarre Bermuda Triangle where he signs players and he doesn't want to know him in the first season. So, I don't know. So Sunday's more important, really, for where we are, which is pretty sad. I just don't want to keep sounding like a broken record. I think this season's just going to be a horrible one, really. It's just you got to fucking almost shrug a laugh at it. It's that pathetic. They're all just doing such strange things. There's a video gone around this morning of Lukaku's touches or lack of them. And I quite like him. I did last season, but there's something not right. Whether it's World Cup hangover, as I keep saying, there's something wrong with his body weight, which people keep laughing at me, but there's something not right. And then when you're lacking in confidence and it's just ballooning off you like a giraffe trying to control a ball, then you've got no chance. He just needs a goal from somewhere and then see. But in his second season, where you hope people prove doubters wrong, they've grown. And is he the player that's going to get us 30, 40 goals that we need to get us back to that elite? Because there's the one thing Jose did have, right? You know, we're so far off the elite. We're not even on the elite in this country, let alone in Europe. And that's where strategically we should have someone high up who's trying to plan these things, but they're not. All they're doing is just infighting and more patheticness, really. So I'm almost thinking, cast it all aside. Let's just talk happy talk. Great games. Turin away. Probably the greatest tense moment of our lives 20 years ago. 2-0 down. Keane drags the players up. We're getting bombarded by missiles. There's a real defiance on the terraces. People aren't leaving. They're just going, fuck it then. And then we get ourselves back in. And then there was the emotions of that when we knew was as good as the final, though the final's still obviously my moment of my life, and Albert, of course. And then 41 years ago, was as we were waiting inside the ground, people started singing that about the babes. And that was just a moment where you thought, and you realise now there's so few, but just Fergie provided us with so many. That we've all got a Fergie hangover, I think. We've just got this, we're back to crashing back to reality. But because in the 80s we still had a bit of fun and we still had players, because as I keep saying, you know, Ralphie Milne was absolutely dog shite, but he tried. And United Road were giving him shit, but which wing did he hog? He still tried. This lot, I don't know. Are they that bereft of confidence that they don't want to try anything different? Stuck to the rules like Van Gaal, you mustn't try anything against teacher's orders. But it's not going to do us any good. There's no magic switch turns this around, I don't think. So we're just like, it's a grim heading out. Like Good Morning Vietnam when Robin Williams seeing all the trucks go out. We just plod to the next game. But I don't know, maybe we could have a miracle somewhere, but there ain't many miracle makers in this side. So enjoy it. You'll be left with a great story from Nick. So that it's the life around United, which you've got to enjoy now, if the actual at the games isn't providing much entertainment. And he did say, as we walked back to the tram after the game, his Uzbekistan cabbie got out, gave him a hug and shouted, "You get that plane, Nick," which we said it's like a bad episode of Friends' story. So, all right, and take care, everyone. And thanks again for buying the mag and the support and all the kind words. It does mean a lot. Cheers. And there I am eating my ham sandwich. So I thought, no, I'll add to it one last little bit of a rant. So we knew that form started to fluctuate and get a bit crap and then worse into early 2018. With that shambles against Seville at home, then his rant, which came after he'd had a go at us comparing us to Portsmouth. Then he said that chair is he's too big for that chair because it's busted, and then started this ongoing look at me, respect, three trophies. So we knew that he either had to be backed because he was falling out with Martial. He criticised his strikers, saying after Brighton, you know, he doesn't play Lukaku and this is what he's got. So there's the point that you either as a board go, right, we know that he's not getting on with some players. We know that the football's starting to stagger. We're 19 points behind City. Do we back him or do we sack him? So no, they're not going to sack him. So they don't back him. Now, at that point, Jose throws his toys at the prams. We fans, if you look at all Twitter forums, fanzines, dating back to April, were concerned. Yet the club just thought staggering like a drunk down the road was the way that was going to get us out of this. Not in a million years. I keep saying that we saw this coming. So how have they allowed this to happen? It's not losing to Juventus. There's no shame in that. But it's the bigger picture of that drunk punch approach to where we're going, to suddenly briefings or January we might spend. Well, why didn't we spend last August? And that's so annoying that we're ridiculed sometimes as fans as fickle and, you know, we don't get the game. But we see more than most sometimes, and we saw this coming. And men paid £2.6 million a year to chief executive, to the twats in suits, just allowed it to carry on. And that's the most disappointing. Anyway, and I also wanted to say thanks to Jimmy so much for doing the Red News interview. Put so much effort into it. And 2 days later, touch wood, none of the press have shafted us with nicking quotes. So he did brilliantly. And for Gary Neville to come back, as I say, and say let's add to it was brilliant. So enjoy it. And let's start, hey, we're enjoying the football. When will that happen again? To actually go to a game thinking, we're going to see good, entertaining football. It isn't too much to ask, is it? Right, so we're in the pub after we've just been beaten by Juventus, or should that be taught a bit of a lesson? Jose's on the TV, but we can't hear what he's saying, which may be him trying to make another point about why he didn't make subs. And I'm joined by Nick. He's just come back from a trip to America and he's got a story at the end to tell us. And what do you think of that then?
It just wasn't great, is it, really? I mean, it's kind of what we were really expecting. I think you knew it was going to be cagey against a side who got some very good players, haven't they? And I mean, some of them didn't show up really tonight. I thought we defended okay at times. Thought Lindelof today was probably our man of the
match.
Yeah, very good.
Thought
he was
sure as well.
Probably his best game that he's probably had.
Yeah,
certainly up there. And you know, De Gea and that. Other than that, there's not really many positives in there, was there really? Just I don't understand how you can't make a substitution in 90 minutes.
But what's his point there? What is it? Why not even? I was saying to people around me, I was reading Anita Ellsberg, I think it was the old Harvard lecturer that he did the work with, and someone tweeted the old article he did in 2012 or something, which just says risk taker, gamble. What's to lose with 10 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go? Try something unusual, try something different, put Chong on. But is the point that he hasn't got enough players?
That's the point he's trying to make to the board, isn't it? He's trying to say, look, you know.
Yeah, but stop it. Well, I thought we were trying to get a bit of cohesion together. Stop making the point. I mean, if you haven't got a risk taker, then we've got the opposite to that, which is risk aversion. But United aren't about risk aversion.
But that's what we are because we appointed Mourinho, and that's what he's.
So we're going round and round in circles.
Yeah, to
for me tonight it's obviously a disappointment, but it's not a big, because I didn't want to annoy people. But for me, this is going to come out wrong. But Sunday was a bigger game. In terms of this is just a passing game.
Everton.
That Everton's
a bit.
Because that's more, I hate to
winnable.
Use the word, well, no, but at our level at the moment, that we have to win. But tonight's their movement, their cohesion, that on their side, on, you know, right on the up, who have been there or thereabouts for so many years, and they've signed Ronaldo. So if you add to that, but you look at it, I said about the Titanic battles in the 90s, you know, we didn't get taught lessons, but in a way, some of the games we were educated. We're 4 or 5 years away from that right now.
there was a good tweet I saw from Andy Mitten at half time that said, you know, this looks very familiar to the performance in 96 in Turin. 3 years later, we won the treble. So there you go, that can be your positive take for.
Right, so Lukaku and is going to bag a 93rd minute winner.
If Lukaku's still here in 3 years, I'll be absolutely gobsmacked. And
I'm
so surprised I've said that, because I've been backing him all the way. And when he's, I know he's not scored since Burnley, I think I'm right in saying that, but I just thought at the time, even then when he scored those two goals, I was thinking, we've got a good player here, we've just got to give him service. And to be fair to him tonight, and to be fair to him over the last few games,
well, he hasn't got service
hasn't
again.
Got service. We haven't got the
but
to give him
they're not passing to him, yeah, I don't think, because they know it's going to bounce back off his feet. I've said, you know, about him being top heavy, and I mean in terms of Ivory's tried to do too many weights. But it's beyond that now. We're not seeing a striker. Strikers without confidence are always write-offs anyway. All, you know, unless you are that top elite who rarely have long periods. When they're in these holes, they are terrible to get out of. But he's stopped doing the work that is needed to get him back to the level of getting goals.
If you're not playing well, you have to play better. You have to try harder, don't you?
Have been wrong with putting, say, Martial or Rashford up top? But I didn't like, I have to say, that this might not go down. I didn't like Rashfield, that's a merging of the two. Rashford looking a bit of a mad arse, sulking about when the ball wasn't coming to him.
Sorry, I just got distracted there because that couple had taken a selfie of him kissing, which was very worrying.
No, we're not going to do that. So.
No, we're definitely not going to do that. But yeah, I think I've never seen Rashford have a good game on the right-hand side, even for England. And it's like, I understand that Rashford's got to play because he's playing well for England and he's come off a couple of good games. He's been rested after the suspension. It makes sense to play him, I get that. But at least play him in a position that he's been doing well in. You can't be like, oh, well, he's playing well for England. I've got a great idea, I'll shove him out on the right and see if he can perform out there. Because he never has.
Yeah, but I don't think he's been playing that well for him. I think he scored the goals,
he's doing well.
Marshall,
if you can bring that in, then great.
But we're just pinballing. See, for me, we're our level. I was trying not to get myself too giddy. I was so happy Newcastle, so delighted with the second half at Chelsea after being so flat at half time and really letting it get to me again, that I'll take anything. But I've maintained, don't get ahead of yourselves, Reds, because I think we're a win two or three or under fit, and then we come a cropper. So tonight's a misnomer because it's against top quality opposition. But it's almost like if Jose's saying, well, 1-0, I'll take that. There's no point any of us doing anything. You know, like,
I just don't understand why you don't. It comes back to making the sub, though, isn't it? It shows the will of what you want to achieve from the game. And how frustrated the players are getting with each other when they're just not moving.
If they're set up to do that, then Martial and Rashford have to be running like dervishes back and forth down that line. But they didn't do that.
Do you know what? One of the most impressive performances I remember in Europe was only going back a couple of years, is when Bayern Munich beat Barcelona at the Nou Camp, and you saw Ribery and Robert, okay, they're a totally different class, but you saw them doing something in that game that, you know, you have to do away from at home, or you have to do at home, you have to do that in Europe to beat the best sides, which is tracking up and down the wings.
But that's what I mean,
why we were saying, you've got gigs
knowing that system wasn't working. I mean, not skulls like, but what really disappointed me today and ongoing, we had no. The amount of times we got the ball to Martial, sure, they had five men on him, and maybe Matic. They had five on our three.
Yeah.
But we didn't have anyone able to go. And Matic tried it in the second half. But try and create a bit of space and switch play. And if we do try and switch play, we pass it back to Smalling, who takes four or five touches. Their one-touch play was incredible in the first half.
That's what made us look daft. You know, and what frustrates me the most is when we get the ball, or it could be a counter-attack, or even when it's not a counter-attack, the ball always seems to find its way to Matic. And I know I'm being a bit unfair because I don't usually quite mind him, but he's one of the main problems I think in scoring.
Yeah, he's not played well recently.
Like, if you look at him today, he had like 10, 15 yards of space in front of him. I'm talking 5, 6, 7 times in the game, and he's passing it sideways, and just instead of taking that ball forward and just trying to speed the play up a little bit. He's not the problem, I get.
Yeah, but is that because he doesn't trust do none of them trust each other? Or I don't know, because as soon as we go one goal down, even on Saturday, it looks like the hand of doom has touched all their heads, because their heads go straight down, right, oh shit, we're fucked.
Yeah.
And like Saturday was an exception where we thought But, you know, how can Mata look so good on Saturday and then you think he's just a passenger tonight until he tried? I'm not flat, you know, I'm just thinking, I get that you have to start all over again, and we've done it many times at United, but we're so lacking at the moment. We're so, so... And we're no further than this year than last. So we've gone just treading water, really. I thought the atmosphere was a bit...
flat.
Yeah.
I was expecting tonight that everyone was going to be... There was a bit of a buzz on the way
pissed,
in. It felt like a bit of a buzz on the way in, selling. And when we got in there, everyone was sat down. And I know I was in Tier 2 East End. Everyone sat down. I'm just thinking, what's going on here? And then there was a bit of movement. Half the stand stood up, half of it sat down. And, you know, fans are looking at each other thinking, you know, we sit down, you know. And it's just not good, is it, really? I just think on a Champions League night, we should be standing up, shouldn't we? And I think that makes a big difference. And the atmosphere's flat. I mean, I know I'm part of the problem because I'm not seeing Old Trafford. But... unless it's really like absolutely necessary, you know, like a lot
yeah,
of people.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be a given, right?
The thing is, though, if you start doing a song or something like that, it looks like you're an honour.
Yeah.
And that's the atmosphere that it is now. If someone stood up, everyone's just like, oh, come on, sit down. And it's like, well, no, it's a Champions League night. This is what football's all about. These are, you know, this Juventus game, they're probably going to be. Probably the best side we play this season.
Yeah.
It's certainly one of the biggest games that we're going to have this
season.
Well, and
they only come along once every 5 years.
We might not have Champions League next year.
Yeah, but then...
and there's no fear in...
then is the manager and the players setting the tone as well. We're not feeding off each other. The difference being second half, which I thought was excellent at Chelsea, second half Newcastle. So I do think they've got to give us something as well. But it goes back to... you know, we're going round and round in circles about Jose. He's never going to be the man we want him to be. And that's not saying sacking. But he's just... I don't know. How can you be like that in a manager, not thinking...
But you're saying, though, this is what you were saying before, is you go in and picking the safer option because you know that, you know, you take a gamble in, you know, you take something that's a little bit steadier than Van Gaal, who, you know, is known for playing quite nice football or whatever at the time, keeping the ball, blah, 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 whatever. And then you say we're all about taking risks at United, and you say, well, you take Mourinho. He's not a risk taker. He's very conservative. He's going to play tight in games.
I bet his happiest moment of today was hearing the Valencia result, because he thought we almost gained 2 points from that scenario when you shouldn't be doing that. No, you know, but I was obviously. I got a free bacon sarmi today. So
that's good,
that was a result. And it wasn't stolen, that was actually given to me. And I thought, this is going to be a good day. And then I went into the toilets at Piccadilly just to have a pee. And the crescendo of Italian farts emanating like an orchestra was so grotesque, I thought, we're going to lose. So my optimism from the high of the bacon sarmi to a grotesque Italian artist.
You're basically saying that because you were a cohesion of Italian men shitting in a public toilet, you thought we're going to get this today.
Yeah. I just thought they've got the upper hand already. Yeah. My win has been stolen. Right, anyway, so you were cheering our goal like a lunatic in a New Orleans airport. Is this right? Have I got that story right?
Yeah, it's good.
So, how do you go from cheering a goal in a New Orleans airport to losing your bag with your passport in it and nearly missing your flight home? The short version.
There honestly is not a short version, and I'll be happy to record it yet and send it you, and you can
Right.
I can't do it quickly.
So you left it. You left your bag.
I appreciate
and
your very
passport
fast
on
here.
A bus in
yeah.
Houston,
yeah.
Where you were getting a flight home from.
Yeah,
and you were pissed.
Yeah.
But you're blaming other people for losing your bag.
I never blamed anyone else for losing my bag.
But you blame the bus man.
No, I blame the copper that I spoke to because he was a bellend.
And you told the copper the non-expletive version.
You say you're the greatest country in the world and you can't even find an effing bag on an effing bus. If this was Manchester, someone would ring the bus company and say, yeah, the bus left at that time, you'll be able to find your bag, blah, 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 and you found it. Not turn around to me when I'm very, very angry and 55 minutes before my flight leaves, bearing in mind it takes 35 minutes to get to Houston Airport from the downtown, to say, wow, that sucks for y'all. You're not going to make that flight. So you can imagine that I was absolutely
That was David Moyes
enraged.
In a police outfit.
Yes, I was absolutely
You're lucky you didn't get shot,
enraged.
Though.
I was fuming. Well, try running through Texas Airport.
So how did you... Right, who found your bag?
Who?
On a bus?
I got an Uber back into town.
And how the fuck did you make a... How the fuck did they let you on a plane?
Well,
20 minutes. You're supposed to be there like 18 hours before a flight.
Well, it just shows you how much bullshit that is, doesn't it? But it was... I got to thank Nathan, to be fair. Nathan the seller, he had one foot on the plane, one foot on the gangway. He's just like, no, my mate's not here yet. My mate's not here yet. Where are you? Where are you? He's on the phone.
I bet the and plane loved that.
I got a nice round of applause off the bus.
Oh.
Because they put a hit out on the bus to say, there's a bag there. Because I think the copper thought it was a bomb at first.
Oh, for fuck's
So I thought, fucking hell. So I'm there and I ran on this bus. And this woman was like, I think I've left my bag on the bus. My flight leaves in 45 minutes. Like, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, literally, I need to just run on this bus and check if my bag's on it. I think it might be on this bus. So she was just like, oh, y'all. So I ran onto this bus and I ran straight to the back, and everyone on the bus knew what I was doing there. So it was just COVID when I got my bag off the shelf.
Why hadn't the bus driver said we've got a bag?
Because no one had checked. Because the bus is just going around the downtown on a loop and it's going straight back to the airport. So honestly, when I got into the airport, Nathan had spoken to Singapore Airlines, who we were flying back with, and she said, there was a big announcement over at Sanai, and it was just like, Mr. Barlow, your boarding pass is waiting at the gate. So I'm sat there running, and I run into the airport, managed to just make it, and Nathan's like, the gate's closed, like, you're not going to make
it. Hell.
So I'm there, hadn't even gone through security. This woman stood there, and I run in through the airport door. Nathan had told him wearing this Adidas tracksuit jacket, and she's in there, she's waving my boarding pass, and she's going, Mr. Barlow, Mr. Barlow, this way, follow me, we're going to get y'all on that flight. Like, dead over the top American, and it was just funny. So I'm absolutely bobbing myself. And there's a point where I'm running through airport security, but she takes me through the pilot bit. They go through their own airport security. So she's moving pilots out the way, and she's on her iPhone headphones going, Mr. Barlow is currently making his way through pilot security. He'll be with you in a moment.
Why are they doing this for you? For me, they just go, fuck him.
I don't know. Well, it was just, I don't know. It must be because it was a long haul flight. The next one's not back
till
Tuesday.
Because you look so nice.
I'm like, look, I'm going to have to be here till Tuesday.
Oh.
I was like, I'm not going to be able to get a flight back. I've got to be
here. You're not going to be able to sell.
Which is what you're worried about.
As soon as I saw the message, I thought, we're a seller down. We're a seller down.
£150 flight back to Heathrow.
Fucking hell.
I was like, I ain't got the money for that. So anyway, I'm running through the airport. She gets me through pilot security. And she's like, you've got to take your shoes off. So I'm taking my shoes off. I've got my bag with me. She went, what have you got in there? I said, I've got my headphones and I've got my Kindle in there. So she's like, well, you've got to take them out. So my bag had to go back through the scanner, and I'm thinking, this is precious time, I'm losing it. So my shoes are going back through the scanner as well. You can at least put my shoes back on. No. And Nathan's like, don't put your shoes on, you just need to run. So
what,
I'm
you
there
ran without shoes?
I've got my socks on. I've got my shoes in each hand, my jacket over one arm, my bag over the other arm. I've got my passport, my boarding pass in my mouth. And I'm running through Houston Airport with a bag, thinking, this is where I
Is she still with you now?
No, she's left me. She just went, good luck, y'all.
She just felt fat, this.
So I'm running.
So you're looking like a baby?
On a slippy airport.
And you're pissed? Pissed?
No, I've sobered up a little bit because the fear had got to me a little bit. So I'm running through the airport, and I'm sliding down the ramp. It goes down towards Terminal D. It wasn't even fucking Gate A. It's Terminal D, and I'm running straight down, and I'm sliding down on the glossy
I've
floor.
I've got to ask.
And I get there.
Are you allowed a data protection request? I've got to ask for this CCTV.
I've said that people need to see it, because honestly, I get there and there's 9 Singapore Airlines staff that are waiting for me at the gate and go, don't worry, Mr. Barlow's here. And this woman who runs down the gangway, and I can hear, and she goes, hold that goddamn plane, he's here, Mr. Barlow is here. And I'm just like, so embarrassed, thinking,
are you
Marty
or something? Or they thought you're someone you're not.
And I don't know. Nathan had obviously sold them the dream in the airport. So she went, Mr. Barlow, calm down, you can put your old shoes back on. I'm just like sat there laying down on the couch, just going, panting. It's like dripping full of sweat,
the
running out.
The photo of you on the plane
airport.
Looks of relief, terror.
Honestly, when I got on the plane, Nathan didn't know I'd made it. The gate was the door had shut as soon as I stepped on. It started backing away straight away, and I'm walking down the aisle, and Nathan's thinking, Nick's not any seat here. Nick's not any seat. He's not going to have made this flight. And then there's just me walking on the flight with my bag aloft in the air, just like Luke style, just stood there holding it up. And there's people on the plane just sort of give like a bit of a gentle, and I was just
like, they've gone, you fucking knob, below my flight back.
So I sit down and on the plane, and Nathan's just like smiling and laughing, and I'm close to tears thinking I'm so fucking lucky. And my mum texts me and she goes, I've seen your flights delayed 8 minutes. And I'm just like, yeah, yeah, that was me, mum. I was like, don't worry, I'm on the flight. Have I got a story for you when I get back? But that,
what
moment,
did your missus say?
Oh, I've not told her.
I've not told her.
So it's just, I can't emphasise how stressed I was. It's like, I'd gone from having to get like a monorail all the way back through the airport to get an Uber to beat the bus back. The Uber driver from Afghanistan waited with me the whole time.
That's nice.
He was lovely.
But you've had that bag with you because you've just travelled light the whole trip, and you lose it the last minute of the trip. For 10 days, was it, a year away? How?
I was half asleep on the bus. I was very depressed to be coming home.
Well, you clearly didn't want to.
I can stay here for another 2 minutes.
I thought my first half was bad until I heard that.
It was.
I don't think you can. I don't think we can top that.
Ever. I was just thinking, do you know what? I'm going to be here for another 2 or 3 nights.
I don't think we can top that. So, no, that's just bonkers.
Honestly, but it was a taxi driver who went. He said, "How long have you got till your flight?" And I said, "I've got 32 minutes before the plane leaves." I went, "How long does it take to get back to Houston Airport?" He went, 35 minutes. I went, oh, good God. The taxi driver was just weaving in and out of traffic.
Jesus
he
Christ.
Got me back, and I had no money
I've
on
got,
me.
Got to see. You've got to get video.
Yeah, someone needs to request that footage. If anyone out there can get that copy of Houston Airport, me running through, Chandler Bing style through that airport, just
amateurishly botched at most things we do. But that's right up there.
Honestly, it was...
Right, so back to planet Earth.
I can't, you stress me back out again now. It took me 5 cans of Heineken on that flight to calm down. Honestly, I'm joking. Singapore Airlines are very good, though. I own a thank
right,
you.
Right, Lukaku hasn't scored for 8 games. He's our leading scorer, though. So do we drop him for Sunday?
I think you... If it was anyone but Everton, I would say yeah. But I've always got this thing where it's like a bit of a cliche. There's always a bit of a story with football, and you know, I knew we were going to get Juventus when the groups were drawn because you knew Ronaldo going back there. I just thought, well, no, we're going to get them. And it's the same with a situation like this. I just think, you know, playing. Okay, we're still second though.
That's what I mean.
We're still second.
Jose thinks.
Yeah.
But you lose the next one. You lose in Juventus. Valencia have 5.
Valencia got young boys. I think Valencia aren't a good side, though.
No,
like,
but
we're not
going to go out there and win.
Last group game.
So you've got to hope Juventus care enough to beat Valencia and we beat young boys. But I still think it means we need a draw in Valencia, which
I like
would not.
We beat young boys. I don't like that phrase.
But we would.
I'll leave you with that one.
Not. Trust this team to get a draw in Valencia, but I mean it's like prolonging a slow, painful death.
Oh God, I trust
us.
Them to get yeah.
Us.
Oh God,
us.
Yes. We've got one of the most negative managers in Europe. We've got to back us to get a draw. If you want to answer my question of who you want to be the next Man United manager, you look at that Juve chap. Is it Massimo Allegri? Is he?
Yeah.
That's who I want next.
Yeah, he.
I want him. Can we have him?
Well, we've
got connections.
Chelsea will get it, mightn't they? So that on that note, it's last orders. Right, Nick, positivity from tonight. Anything?
I mean, they dominated us in the first half. Again, we showed
don't
three.
Don't say we only lost 1-0.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just going to say at least we played better in the second half of the last 3 games. You know, that's really what you can say. Well, it doesn't matter. We've still had a bit of a reaction that's come out in the second half, albeit it's been the same.
Shots on target would be nice. Quite a few of them, you know, like more than one a game or more than
that
two.
That goal
again.
Was a bit jammy though, wasn't it? It just falls to
I
him
know,
and gets
but
a bit
I, they were toying with it.
Positives is Lindelof. If he can carry on getting some confidence and some form off that performance, it's sort of a good tweet again over the weekend saying that he's facing Hazard on Sunday, Saturday, Ronaldo on Tuesday. The lad's got to be going through some bog roll in his house this weekend. And I'm thinking, do you know what, tonight he really stood up and answered a few critics.
And Smalling is the best one to put with them out of a bad bunch.
I don't like this man. But the only thing I don't like about him is his hair.
If you are, well, yeah. But if you're on that bench, are you then going, well, Jose doesn't trust me to... I don't know. It's just so, it's so many bizarre...
Who comes off that game, apart from Chong, really, that, you know, a lot of people haven't seen him just, come off. Do
don't, I don't know, but you've got to try something.
Yeah.
Try, risk, gamble.
I bet he's thinking,
I'm
do you know what?
I'm tired of not seeing
that's
United.
What he's thinking.
Okay, right,
that's what he's thinking on the bench. Because that's what he's thinking.
But we just miss... That's... You could end it without adding a name. United are missing something. But I'm not...
On
target, let's see. Win on, we've got to beat Everton, beat Bournemouth, and then go to City with something. But I don't even think we'll do that. That's how screwed up we are. Anyway, thanks everyone who bought the mag. We sold out at the ground, but you can get it again on Sunday, and then that's it. It's got 9 pages of Gary Neville, and he's been really open with us. He got back in touch with us after the Friday night, you know, rant he had, and said what I need to add to it, and he did. So fair play to the small fanzine. He decided to give an hour of his time. He didn't have to. And I hope by the time I'm going for another drink, the press haven't nicked more quotes. So cheers, everyone. And Nick, run, Forrest, run. Shit joke.
Honestly, there's so much of that story that you're missing out, but I was just fucking, honestly.